Hello. You know, as always, I say this at the start of every time I talk, but listen to me in the presence of God, right? In his light we see light, it says in Psalm 36, verse 9. In his light we see light. If you listen to Jesus while you're listening to me, you'll get a lot. If you don't, you probably won't get very much. Listen to him. But that was an amazing testimony, Sharon. That's absolutely incredible. And I want to today help everyone just increase their expectation of what God can do in their life. Increase their expectation of experiencing his love. Increase their expectation of experiencing everything that we've already got in Jesus. Passage today is Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 23, and I'll read that now. It says this. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your understanding or the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And to look at this, I actually want to start back in verse 3. And I'm actually going to spend just, 5-10 minutes at the beginning going back to verse 3 and looking through verse 3 to verse 14, just a few of those things that we've already got in Jesus to set the scene for the passage we've just read, because it only really makes sense if we have a good look at that bit first. And it says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is verse 3. It might be helpful to turn to Ephesians 1 if you haven't already. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Right? Roy asked me to give a title to the message. The title is You've Already Got It, which may come up on the screen in a second. But you've already got it. You've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You've already got everything you could ever need in him. Absolutely everything. You know, there's nothing you lack. None of you lack anything if you're in Jesus. 2 Peter 1:4 says, we've been given everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. You've already got it. You've got everything you need in Jesus. And in him, it goes on to say in verse 4 that we've been chosen. We're holy. We're blameless before him. We're in his love. Verse 5, it says we're his sons. The Holy Spirit in us cries out, Abba, Father. Right, we know Jesus. In him we're a son. In him we're blameless. In him we're in his love. One that I actually want to focus on a little bit. Verse 8, or verse 7, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound towards us. Right? In Jesus, you've been given an abundance of grace. Right? You received an abundance of grace. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, I am what I am by the grace of God. All right, the empowering, unmerited favor of God. You've got an abundance of it. All right, everything Paul was because of the grace of God, and you've got an abundance of it. All right? Romans 5, verse 17 says, how much more will those who've received an abundance of grace, well, that's you, you've received an abundance of grace if you're in Jesus, reign in life through Jesus Christ. You've received an abundance of grace You get to reign in life. You get to reign in life. You don't just have to be surviving, you can actually be thriving. It says in Psalm 102, verse 28, we will thrive in his presence. You get to reign in life through Jesus. How amazing is that? And that grace given, as with all of God's things, to be honest, Romans 5:15 says, the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the grace given to us. That's why you have it in him. Jesus is the grace. God doesn't really give us things. He gives us himself. Jesus in us is the grace. What else do we already have in Jesus? Well, a load of things, but I probably don't have time to go through all of them. So, verse 13 and 14, it says, in Jesus, you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom, in Jesus, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. Now, different translations there. Some of them say, who is the deposit of our inheritance? Some translations actually say, who is the foretaste of heaven? Right? The Holy Spirit is a deposit of our inheritance, a deposit of heaven in your life. He's a deposit. Right? A deposit, if you put a deposit on a house, it still has to be of the same substance as the fullness. You can't put something random down as a deposit. It's still got to be money. The Holy Spirit is a deposit of heaven in your life. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is to come. Romans 8:23 says we've got the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. Right? The first fruits of a harvest, the first few apples, they still taste like apples, they still feel like apples, there's just less of them. Right? The Holy Spirit is a foretaste of heaven. We get to experience that. In whom you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We get to experience a foretaste of heaven. You know, actually, I'm going to ask a question that is made clear in a second. What's better? What the disciples had with Jesus in the flesh next to them, or what you've got right now? What's better? Good answer. Right? I said I wanted to up your expectation of what you can experience. Jesus says in John 16:7, it's better for you, the disciples, that I go, because I'll send you the Holy Spirit. Christ in you by the Holy Spirit is so much better than just Jesus stood next to you. Do you experience that? And I keep saying all these things we have in Christ, but I just want to, it'd be helpful probably to define in Christ a little bit. Colossians 3:11 says, in Christ Jesus, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Right? In Christ, Christ is all and in all. In Christ Jesus, he's in you and he is everything. Right? I think a really helpful way of looking at that is actually verse 23 in this passage. It says, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Right? Christ fills everything in everyone. I sometimes think about a bucket. If you think about a bucket of water and a sponge, right? If Christ is the bucket and you're the sponge, you are in Christ. If you put a sponge in a bucket of water, you're placed in him and yet he fills all in all. You are in Christ, and in Christ, Christ is in you, and in Christ, Christ fills everything, everywhere, in everyone. You are filled with Jesus, and you are in him. So that's in Christ. And the reason I've outlined a few of those things is because you've already got all those things in Jesus. Every single one of those, in whom you have, in whom you have, in whom you have, in whom you have. You've already got all those things. In Jesus. You've already got it. You've already got it in Jesus. And yet, I can pretty much guarantee, in a group of more than two people, a lot of people won't be experiencing those things. Right? It says you're holy and blameless, and yet I know lots of people are going to be experiencing condemnation. It says you're in his love, yet I know lots of people are going, I don't feel his love. It says you get a foretaste of heaven in the Holy Spirit, that Christ in you is so much better than Christ just stood next to you. And yet I know lots of people go, oh, if only Jesus was here next to me. You've already got all those things. However, that comes to verse 15. For this reason, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You've already got it in Jesus, but you need revelation. You need revelation. You know, you'll know this, but intellectual knowledge just doesn't cut it. It really doesn't. I can read that passage a million times. Unless God, by his Holy Spirit, gives me revelation, I'll never live it. You need revelation. That's what Paul's saying. For this reason, because you've already got all these things in Jesus, I pray that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know, truly know these things. You've already got all those things in Jesus, but you need revelation. If you don't have revelation, you won't get very far. And to be honest, for the rest of the time I've got, I want to outline what revelation looks like. I want to outline what it feels like. I want to outline a tiny bit of how to get it. So what is revelation? Because this is what transforms our life. This is what it goes from just reading the passage and going, that's great, to living it and experiencing it. So in the Bible, there are kind of two types of knowing. Apologies if it gets a bit teachy rather than something else, but there are two types of knowing. 1 Corinthians 8, verse sort of 1 to 3 says, you have knowledge? Great. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Knowledge makes you proud, but love edifies. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he doesn't yet know as he ought. So there's a type of knowledge that makes you proud. There's a type of knowledge that isn't actually that helpful and it just puffs you up. That mere intellectual knowledge. Intellectual knowledge isn't bad, but mere intellectual knowledge, where you're just like, you get more knowledge, you get cleverer, you get more stuff. Great, it puffs up, it makes you proud. But then, when you get revelation, this verse says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, having the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart, in quite a lot of versions, enlightened. You know, when the knowing goes from here to here, that's what revelation feels like. Right? It goes from your head to your heart. I know it's quite almost a colloquial saying, isn't it? From your head to your heart. But that's what happens when you get revelation. Jesus says, because of your hard hearts, you don't see and you don't hear properly. Well, a soft heart means it goes pretty quickly from your head to your heart and you start experiencing it. And that happens when the Holy Spirit teaches you a truth. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 says that God gave us the Holy Spirit so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. That's 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. See, it's already the things freely given to us. We've already got all the things in Christ. The Holy Spirit's given to us so that we may know, and in the right sense of knowing, the things already freely given to us by God. That's what happens when you get a revelation. The Holy Spirit shows you something. And I've said this one before, but I'll say it again. John 8, 32 says, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All right, so when the Holy Spirit is given to you so that you may know the things freely given to you by God. And when you receive that type of knowing, you know the truth, you rightly know the truth, you really know the truth in your heart, and it will set you free. All right, one thing I'm always really blunt with myself on, I don't have revelation unless I'm free. Right? You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. I don't care how many verses you can quote. I don't care how long you spent looking at a truth. If you're not living it, you don't have revelation. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Right? If you can quote to me 1 Corinthians 13 but don't live in love, you don't know it. If you can quote to me all the verses on peace and quote Philippians 4 and whatever, but you don't live in peace, well, you need a revelation. And I'm just going to come at it from a slightly different side as well, which is John 1:1 says, well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right, in some ways, I don't actually have a physical Bible. Roy, hold your Bible up. Here's a Bible. Right? In some ways, that's the Word of God. Right? In other ways, it's not. In other ways, it's just Scripture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? Jesus is the Word of God. Right? When you read your Bible, you're looking to encounter Jesus as the Word of God in the Scriptures. That's when you get the true Word of God. Scriptures are amazing. They are in some ways the Word of God. But the Word of God is God. He is Jesus. And you're looking to encounter Jesus in the Word as the Word. And when you encounter Jesus as the Word, it becomes living. Right? You know when you're reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit gives you a revelation and suddenly it just comes alive to you. You're suddenly like, it's alive. The Bible's alive. I'm encountering Jesus in it. And then, as it says in Philippians 4, Hebrews 4, verse 12, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. You know, the Word of God, when you encounter Jesus as the Word, it's living. You know, we've all sat there and read our Bible and gone, well, that's great. It's not really living. And then you come to another page and you get revelation from the Holy Spirit and it comes alive. The Word of God is living and active. When you encounter Jesus in it, it becomes living and active in your life. And what's the result of it? It says, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, we are body, soul, and spirit. Right? We're a tripartite being in that sense. And a revelation of the Word of God, as it is living and active, means you're able to divide between soul and spirit, which sounds quite confusing. But as I've said, every single one of these things is already true in Jesus, in you. In your spirit, in Christ, it's already true. When you get a revelation of the Word of God, you're able to, in yourself, divide between your soul, just you, and Christ in you. You suddenly are able to access Jesus in you. You're able to then go, okay, that's just me living in me, and that's me living in Christ. When you get a revelation, you can divide between your soul, which is you, and your spirit, where Christ is living, and experience him in you, and experience all of the blessings that are talked about through verse 3 to 14. So then, I just want to, for the final few minutes or so, go into, sadly I don't have time to go through all the way. I'm just going to go up to verse 19. This is really where I feel like God wanted me to stay. I just want to look at that, the three things that Paul says here in terms of what the knowing is about. He goes, having the eyes, well, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Again, it's in the knowledge of him. The revelation you get is about knowing more of Jesus. That's the only revelation that really matters. That you may know, well, having the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you may know three things. One, what is the hope of his calling? What is the glory, riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceedingly great power, or the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? So I just want to take those in turn to finish. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. When you get a revelation, you suddenly know what really is the hope of God's calling in that area. You know when you're chatting to people sometimes, let's take peace as an example, and you're chatting to them and you're talking about peace and how amazing God's peace is, and they go, yeah, but like obviously in this situation it won't work, and in this situation it won't work, and in this situation it won't work. When you get a revelation, you're not saying that anymore. You suddenly know really what the hope of his calling is for you. His calling is for you to live in perfect peace. You suddenly know the hope of his calling. Right? All the things we've looked at, you suddenly know he wants you to be, well, experience being holy and blameless before him. You know that he wants you to experience his love. You know the hope of his calling. You know that he wants to experience Christ, you to experience Christ in you to the extent where you know it's better than just having Jesus next to you. Right? He wants you to know the hope of his calling. Secondly, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Notice it's not of our inheritance in him. You know, throughout the Bible it says, God is our inheritance, and that is amazing. But here it doesn't actually say that. It says, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We're his inheritance. That's amazing. We are the bride of Christ. We are the inheritance of God. We're his inheritance. And when you get a revelation, you see more and more and more of how glorious that is. What you see is how much God cares for you, how much you're worth to him. You see more and more and more of how much he loves you. Every time you get a revelation, you'll know more and more of the love of God. Every time. And you see, therefore, how much you're worth to him and how great his riches are in his inheritance in us. How delighted he is to have us as his inheritance. It's amazing. Every time you get a revelation, you'll see more of God's love. You know, one thing, one verse I love on that is John 17, verse 23. It says, God loves you even as much as he loves Jesus. You know, I asked that question earlier, what's better, Jesus in the flesh or Jesus in you? Well, I could ask the question, who does God love more, you or Jesus? And the answer is neither. He loves you both the same. Every time you get a revelation, you see more of that. Every time you get a revelation, you see how much more you're worth to God, how much more he loves you, how much more he adores you. And finally, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? You see how much power he has. Every time you get a revelation, you see he has the power to do what he's just given you a revelation of. Right? If I go back to the peace example, you suddenly go, not only is the hope of his calling to live in peace in every moment, he has the power to do that in me. He has the power, and he will. He has the power, to do anything he said he'll do. Right? And Psalm 78, verse 41 says, they limited God. Right? Quite hard to limit God, but they limited God. And the amazing thing about it is that when you get revelation, in your own mind, you take the limits off God. When you get revelation, you suddenly stop asking questions that sound... You look back and you go, I asked some quite silly questions in my head. You know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Of course he can make you live in peace. Of course he can make you experience his joy. You know, if I go back to that question of when you're chatting to someone and you're chatting about peace or something and people say, oh yeah, but you can't live it here and you can't live it here and you can't live it here. You don't know the scriptures or the power of God, to be honest. You need a revelation. You need a revelation of his power. You need a revelation of the hope of his calling. Same with joy. As Roy was saying earlier, in his presence there is fullness of joy. That might have been this morning, actually. But in his presence there is fullness of joy. Jesus has more joy than any man who ever lived, it says in Hebrews 1:9. And Jesus lives in you, in Christ. Christ is in you. And you get to experience him. And yet sometimes you'll be chatting to people and they'll go, oh, but you can't have joy here and you can't have joy here. They don't know the scriptures or the power of God. They need a revelation. You need a revelation of how powerful God is. What is the hope of his calling? And the glory of his, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So just looking at, if I just now go back to that, the things that we've been talking about today. You know, God wants you to experience being holy and blameless before him in love. His calling for you is for you to have no condemnation. In Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. That's the hope of his calling. He wants you to get a revelation so you can experience that. He has the power to bring that about so that you have no condemnation. Before him in love, he wants you to have a revelation of how much he loves you and the love that you can experience in Christ. It's already yours in him, but he wants you to experience it. Of sonship, of daughtership. He wants you to experience the Holy Spirit in you crying out, Abba, Father, in every moment. He wants you to experience that abundance of grace. That means you can reign in life, that you can thrive in his presence, that you're not just surviving, but you are thriving and reigning through Jesus. Doesn't mean the circumstances will be easy, they'll often be harder, but you'll be thriving, you'll be reigning. You've got Christ in you, and you're in Christ. And you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, who's a foretaste of heaven. You've got Christ in you, who is so much better than what the disciples had when Jesus just stood next to them. That's how amazing Christ in you is. And in your own mind, you might be going, I'm not sure I experience Christ in you to that extent. I kind of would like Jesus next to me. Well, at this point, you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. You need a revelation. You need a revelation to see how amazing Christ in you is and how much of him you can experience and of all the things you've already got in Christ. What now? Well, 2 Timothy 2:7 says, meditate on these things, think about these things, and the Lord will give you understanding, and the Lord will give you revelation.